Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout the Lenten period season, we have been talking about places of passion. And the place of passion that we talk about tonight is the place of the trial. Tonight we look at Jesus' trial before Pilate, before Herod, and before the chief priests and the elders. It's interesting that today our society still has an engrossment, if you will, with trials. When you think about trials over the last 20 or so years, we think about the O.J. Simpson trial. We think about the Kobe Bryant trial. We think about Scott Peterson's trial. It seems like there's always some trial that we're focused upon. It's interesting how reporters cover trials these days. Rather than looking at facts, they seem to consider the strategies of the different lawyers, the emotions of the people, the intentions of the witnesses, and the biases of the judges. There's an entire network that is established to do nothing but predict or to present trials on TV almost 24/7. I did an internet search to find out how many programs on TV talk about trials. I was surprised. There's more than 45. We just are fascinated somehow with trials. And it's interesting to see how these trials are covered. Have you ever noticed that on TV, trials are covered by drama? They look to dramatize as much as they can. Doesn't seem to be about the facts of the trial. It's drama that brings ratings, and so we're taken from facts to feelings. Justice no longer sits blindfolded and impartial. Justice now sits with a TV camera on its shoulder in one hand and the list of ratings in the other hand. In the gospel for tonight, Luke is our reporter about Jesus' trial. And we would expect Luke to take a different approach. We would think he'd be dealing with the facts. But Luke almost takes that same drama approach. He doesn't have a TV camera. He's not concerned about ratings. And his readers are not concerned about drama. But yet, that's kind of the approach that Luke takes. It sounds a lot like the drama of the trials that we see today. Luke spends a lot of time talking about the people and what they're thinking and what's going on. He talks about the emotions of the characters. He talks about the behind-the-scenes maneuvering of all of the things surrounding this case. He talks about how Herod and Pilate were enemies before this trial. But he says this very day they became friends. And all the while he's telling that part of the story, he never lets us forget that the chief priests and the elders and all of the leaders of the Jewish nation are angry with Jesus. They keep crying, "Crucify him." So why is it, do you suppose, that Luke has so much time for drama in this reading for today? Today, drama keeps people watching TV. But Luke apparently has a different reason for the drama. He knows that the trial is not about establishing Jesus' innocence. That's been firmly established by Pilate, who says, "I can't find anything wrong with this man." So while we expect that Luke might be looking into the facts of Jesus' ministry, instead, Luke teaches us the facts of a fallen world. As we follow this trial tonight, we hear or we expect that Luke is going to establish Jesus' claims. And instead, Luke asks us to confess the truth about ourselves. The real question that is asked here tonight is, why is an innocent man condemned to death? And Luke answers that question with the last sentence that we just heard read in the gospel. Pilate delivered him over to their will. Their will. It was the people's will. It was the will of those people who were there, the chief priests and the elders. It was their will that was being done. It is the will of the fallen world that Jesus died on a cross. Tonight, Luke invites us to look within the human heart this evening. He asks us to consider how our will changes and how it vacillates from one side to the other. In the epistle lesson, Paul says, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." We've all found ourselves in that position at one time or another. Perhaps you remember sitting in church on Sunday morning and willing that something happened in the week, and then on Tuesday night you remember, "Oh, I don't have time to do that. I can't accomplish that." Perhaps you've wanted to tell your neighbor about the love of Christ, and when you talk to them, you end up talking instead about the weather. Jesus' explanation is, I think, very appropriate. You've heard this before. Jesus said, "The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And how true that is. Like the will of the people in Jerusalem changed, our wills change as well. In church, it's easy to sit here and say we want to help all of those poor people. But it gets a little bit hard to do that when a flat-screen TV that you've been wanting for some time comes on sale, and the idea pops into your mind that, well, this is my money and I worked hard for it, therefore I deserve. Although Jesus has rescued us from the sin that dwells in us by nature, there are times when we still find ourselves being part of that fallen world. The characters in our reading for tonight have that same sinful nature. On Sunday, those people shouted Hosanna to the highest, and Jesus came into Jerusalem. And yet tonight, they selfishly accuse him of insurrection, and they call out for his crucifixion. The more we concede to our vacillating will, the easier it becomes to simply come to church and say one thing, but then go out into the world and do another. And that, dear friends, represents our broken human nature. But this trial that Luke talks about tonight, that he describes, is not the end of the story whatsoever. This trial about Jesus is more than the changing will of humans. It's also about the eternal will of God. Jesus enters a place tonight that are filled with the battles of human wills and transforms it into a place of God's eternal will. Jesus was and is part of God's eternal will. God wanted to save all his people so much that he sent his son in that place of passion to suffer and to die. That will of God is a love that's stronger than death. It's a word more powerful than sin. God's will is that Jesus' death and resurrection make salvation available to all people. Each time we gather, Jesus is there to save us. And then he sends us out into a world forgiven so that we might make that known to all people. And Luke also teaches us to confess that Jesus' death and resurrection is the only way for salvation and to get to heaven. For those of you who were at Pastor Reilly's memorial last Saturday, you remember seeing a picture of him in the bulletin. And it was a really nice picture. He was wearing a blue cap. Did anybody pay attention to what it said? Across the top, in a very prominent lettering, was a sign that said, "One Way." It's like that sign that you see on a street, "One Way." And above that was the word "Jesus," and below that was "Jesus, One Way, the Only Way." What a great testimony. As Luke tells us this story tonight, we see God's mission being accomplished. Whenever broken people with vacillating wills fight against God, God comes among them fighting for their salvation. And we find people for whom God has offered his son throughout the entire world. They were there that night in the courtyard. They are in this world today among all nations. They are here in Philomath for all people. And they're here tonight at Peace Lutheran Church. All of those people that we just mentioned are in the grip of a broken human will. But despite our ever-changing human will, it is with our Savior and certain of his salvation that we are sent out into the world to meet the needs of the people who are there, to meet the needs of the people who have not yet heard God's word, and to make sure that his eternal will is carried out every day. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.